Good evening and welcome to Open Air, and welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to be here.
Good to be here. Great. Wonderful. And I have an announcement to start with here.
Okay, great.
Four of our practice books are now available in ebook form. Trying to Be Human, the Fear Book, the Depression Book, and Don't Suffer, Communicate are available wherever ebooks are sold, and more ebooks are in the works. And a few reminders for tonight, Jen.
Sorry, Michael. Go ahead. A few reminders for tonight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You sound a little bit distant to me, Jen, but I can hear you.
Okay.
Oh, that's a little
All right.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Good.
You're better already. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Don't know why.
Good.
If you'd like to get in the queue tonight to talk with Jen, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is really great. Okay, Jen, I think we're ready here.
Hey, good. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hi, Jen. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. I had one of those wonderful life dropping in moments where I walked into the house just a few moments ago from somewhere, and life just said, hey, you're just in time to call. And then ego jumped in and was like, hey, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Sherry. People talk about that sequence all the time. But I really, as you started out saying it, I just really got a palpable sense of how it is so predictable, because ego's got to do that. Because two things. One, you're here. And so when you're here, you hear that prompt. And then
yes,
you're going with the prompt. And so ego has no choice but to have some resistance to it. Because we can't have that. We can't have an unbroken presence without resistance.
Oh, you know, I love that you pointed that out, you know, because I've watched this, it feels like a million times over the years, right? I mean, it is so predictable, but I don't know if I've ever, or it feels brand new in the moment at least, to that sense that it's like, oh, right, I had to be here for,
yes,
to hear life. And part of the
exactly
reason that I was... Part of the reason I think I was here to hear life is while I was out running some errands, I was listening to a show that I had missed while I was away, and there was just this gratitude to practice and a sense of, you know, that opening sometimes when we're listening to Sangha, and it just feels so good to be a part of it.
Yeah, it really does. And that, for me, is that gratitude wants to give that we often say, right? Because there's that gratitude for what we experience from fellow Sangha, for practice opportunities. And for me, that is such a place of wanting to participate. Because in participating, we're also giving back to practice with our participation.
Oh, yes, of course. I love that. I love all of this, you know, and it's so beautiful because, of course, conditioning always wants to frame it as taking, you know. Luckily, there wasn't time. I mean, I'm so super pleased that there was literally just a few minutes and, you know, there wasn't time for conditioning to do all of its bamboozles. But, right, normally
right,
it wants to see that as taking. But you're right. You know, when I listen to all the shows, there's always a deep gratitude to everyone who's sharing and showing up and speaking. And
yes, yes. And Sherry, say more about how that feels like a taking.
Well,
I'm not sure
yeah
if I was with you on that.
I think because that is interesting, and it actually, it's so great, because it actually points to a deep place I've been practicing recently. So it's like, I think that conditioning likes to convince me that practice is like medicine. And that, that I take practice to, you know, I guess in its kinder days or its like less obvious days, it would say maybe to heal something. But the truth of it is, right, it really believes it can fix something.
Right.
There's something wrong with me.
Right.
And I practice to fix it. And that means right. I'm just, you know, taking whatever medicine you're giving me or, you know, who's ever on the other end at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Boy, and that's, to set it up that way, is, I mean, it feels reminiscent of what we're looking at in the year-long retreat right now, right? Not to take that which is not given.
Yes!
And that, yes. Right? So often the focus is on the, now don't take things, you know, you can't take things, but actually, and it's perfect in what you're describing and the way you laid it out in terms of getting on the show today, it's the receiving that actually is the focus, right? So you were there to receive that show, that archive that you were listening to, and from that place, you want to participate. That's just what happens.
Right. And in fact, you know, like what's been happening recently, I had a helpful guidance a number of weeks ago, really looking at not using practice to feel better, right? Like not using practice to try to get to some, you know, happier place. And what I've been seeing, because I've been really exploring this a lot, but what I've been seeing is that and this is, I think, what's maybe being pointed to right now, which is just that it's like there's a giving and a receiving and a giving and a receiving, and it's almost just like breathing in and out. That, you know, about that the practice can be, you know, I've only gotten glimpses of this, but that it's like the guidance was to, you know, to simply practice. And, you know, and the way I've been seeing that is almost like just breathing.
Yes. And, you know, what that really points to for me, Sherry, is, again, in the year-long retreat, that quote this week from Mary Oliver, where, I forget the exact quote, it's so beautiful, though, that, you know, someone gave me a difficulty, and it took me forever to see that too was a gift.
Yes.
And so I feel like that's what you're talking about, right? That, I mean, and who could blame us, right? That, I mean, practice does. When we're directing attention and we're here, it's a joyful deal. It really is. And so I project for a lot of us, that's what first brought us to practice, is we encountered it and we had some experience of going beyond ego, which is a very joyful, capital H, happy experience. And so then it feels like, okay, that's what's possible in practice. So then we hit things that are really hard and challenging, you know, just those places that are hard. And it feels like, okay, let me get rid of this. Let me fix this. Let me practice so I don't have to have this. And I feel like that guidance from practice that you're pointing at is don't miss the gift in this.
Oh, Jen, I lost the very end of whatever you sadly blipped out.
The last piece was to that guidance that I feel like you're pointing at that you received from practice around this is really pointing at don't miss the gift in this. Don't miss the gift in the difficulties, in the hard times.
Right, exactly. You know, and yes, and I think that's, like, and of course, I just want to preface this. It's easy to say right now because I am feeling good. I am feeling connected. I am feeling loved. I am feeling, but, you know, so it's easy to say now, but it's not that easy in the practice of it. But that sense that of going deeper to a place where I can really, like, that was the gift of what I was going through, that dark night of the soul was really to see this other place of practice and really what it is and letting go of that layer.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's beautifully put because, you know, there is a way in which we could kind of, quote, feel better, right? Kind of skirt around it. And again, if that happens, no hard feelings. You know, the good or the bad news is it's going to circle around again, right, until we've actually gone completely through it. But the possibility is that it's going to call us to an even deeper place in our practice to truly go through it. Because what will be called forth in order to meet that is this deeper place that's available to us. But not, as you say, it's very challenging in the moment to see that. But that's why if we stay with it, this is my experience anyway, if we stay with it, it when we're in the middle of it and it's at its hardest, it doesn't feel like it's there. It doesn't feel like it's available. But if we stay with it, it's sort of that place that that came up in a number of the Summer of Sangha groups, that in a sense love or life or however you want to talk about that finds us in that process, in that place where it feels like I can't find it.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, Jen, that was so beautifully said. And I feel like that's it, right? Like, I am like frantically listening to shows and meditating,
yep.
Just doing what, recording, listening, you know, trying to get found. However, it does seem that there's something about that letting go of like, okay, all right, you know, I'm going to practice because this is what I know to do, not yep. because I'm going to feel better. Like this moment, or maybe ever. You know, I was thinking, like,
yeah.
well, okay, even if I don't ever feel like I used to,
yeah.
I'm just going to
okay.
practice, because that's what I do.
That's so huge, Sherry. It's so huge. And, I mean, really, again, going to the Summer of Sangha recordings, and I hope people will avail themselves of that, which I think, well, at any rate, so if you don't know how to access them, you can write into the guest master. But that one of the themes that just was so big over and over and over was realizing that it's all love. It's all love. So the way you just described that, you know, I don't know if I'll ever, quote, feel better. Of course you will, but, and you have, we all know. But that's not the point, you know, that I project that place that you got to of, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'll ever feel differently than this, but I'm going to keep practicing. And that is an expression of love.
Yeah, it is. It is. And just right before I go, but just to say, like, I'm seeing so clearly in the moment, it's an expression of love, of like, you know, the human sort of taking, you know, the human by the hand, but also it's the love of practice being the container, being that
yeah.
loving container.
Yeah.
And that feels so huge. And I'm just super grateful. And I'm so glad that Light dropped in to call. So deep gut show.
Exactly. And you didn't need to, quote, know what to talk about, right?
Exactly. It was all there.
Yeah.
I know.
It was
Thank
all
you
there.
So much.
It's all here. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And, Jen, I agree. It seems like more and more regularly people call in without, quote, anything to say, and we have these conversations. Yes?
Michael, I don't know if it's me or you, but you were breaking up a little bit for me.
Okay. Shall I say that again?
Yeah, please say that again. Just the part about more and more.
More and more that folks call in without anything specific to say,
yeah.
in quotes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the only barrier really is to press *6 and then 1. You don't have to have anything to say or, you know, I can't
right.
call in because things are going well. I can't call in because things are going poorly.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Yeah, truly. That's right. Yeah, just jump in and participate because, as Sherry says, the moment always has something. There's always something here. Always, always,
yeah.
always.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes.
And it's such a fun kind of mystery to literally not know what that is, you know, to press
yeah.
*6 and not know what will come through, but it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very exciting. I think it's very fun.
It is.
It's very fun. Come out. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Massachusetts.
Hey, Jill.
Hey.
Hey, Jill, can I do a quick sound check? I just changed my configuration. Can you hear me clearly right now?
I can hear you much better, actually. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Yep. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking on the app, I just have to hit the ask the question button. I don't even have to do star 6 and 1. It's so much easier. Get in the queue.
Boy, there's just about nothing there. That
I mean, it's really like, it is so easy. Yeah, I feel, not that the other one is difficult, but just feels like, it's like being, I don't know, it's like what people think, you know, the idealization of like a cruise or something like that, ease. It's just like, it's just so easy.
The idealization of a, what did you say, Jill?
Oh, like, I don't know. It's, I guess it's my mini version of like going on a cruise or something. It's
oh, got
like,
it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, be the fast track or speed dial or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all the, this idea that all the obstacles to what you want have been removed.
Right.
Right.
It's all just given to you.
It's all just given to me. Exactly. Well, I called in with something, but now I'm on to something else. So I was, well, first of all, I've been listening a lot to the recordings from the Summer of Sangha and SOS Love Calling. And I mean, just, yeah, I mean, they are just, yeah, it's super, yeah. I'm speechless, I think, about just the, what I'm getting out of it and how I can participate and how I can really feel like, yeah, be a part of from such a distance and in a time, you know, and it was recorded earlier and I'm still here with it. It still feels like I'm here with it. And
well, and Jill, I'll tell you, even those of us who are here in SQIM, I feel like we're having that same experience because Summer Sangha has come to a close.
Mm.
And so, I mean, as we were in that, I think it was just yesterday, in that tent, what is the meditation hall, and kind of, you know, putting things to bed, if you will, after the end of the Summer Sangha, tearing down what's needed, and just truly feeling the, you know, to be terribly California about it, even though we're in Washington now, the energy of all that, of all the dozens and dozens of people who came through that tent, and who have, we all now get to participate continuously because we have those recordings, as you said.
Yeah, I have such a fondness for that tent, and I was thinking about it when you were just saying that, and that one, like, rubber elastic thing with the knob that you have to thread through the hole, and the sound of it. I love hearing the sound of it on the recordings, I have to say. It really, it's just like the flapping and, yeah.
I'm right with you, Jill. That's so funny. It's such a good point. And what I love about that is that at the time it felt like, oh, shoot. You know, I mean, is this going to really be a bummer on the recordings? But it isn't at all, is it? It really adds to the feel of it. Yeah.
It's like hearing the bell when I would do recordings in the monastery and the bell would ring in the distance. And it's just this, it just brings me to that place, you know, and so easily. And I can feel the wind. I can hear the eagles and fighting with the falcons, whatever's going on up there.
Right.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, then that brings me back to the first thing that I was going to call in about, which is this. I listened recently to the projection workshop, and I heard something Sherry say. And when I called in last and had a conversation with Ashwini, she mentioned projection in my conversation with her. And I don't know, I've just been really looking at it. And, you know, I think it was Sherry who said something like projection is not an awareness practice tool, and that my ears perked up at that. And Yeah, I mean, because I just heard myself say, like, oh, the eagles are fighting with the falcons or whatever, and I was like, how do I even know that? it's like, what do right. I know they're up to? Anyway, I just think it's been really powerful conversations to hear about it.
That was a very powerful workshop. I think that was the second to last group, or maybe even the last one, actually.
I think it was the last one, yeah.
The last one, yeah. But yes, absolutely. And so say more about what was so powerful about it for you.
Well, I guess what I'm seeing is, I guess I always thought of projection as, or the, you know, sort of like the suffering kind of projection. Yeah, I guess I thought that there was a projection that caused suffering and a projection that really didn't. I don't know if I'm explaining this, but it was sort of like, if I'm in the projection and I'm just kind of like riding the wave of the projection, there doesn't feel like there's any static around it. There's no, it can shift without any resistance. Then that just feels, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, almost like it sounds like what you're describing is, I mean, projection is just a window into, so in awareness practice, we're turning the attention inward. We're so conditioned to have the attention outward, right? And, he's this way and life is that way and this is that. And meanwhile, we don't notice how that's changing all the time. That our projections are constantly changing, but we're not noticing that because it seems like it's true. Like, she's irritating one day and she's really nice the next day. But that with projection, it's really a window into kind of our interior, and that the way you just described it, if we're just sort of riding that as a wave, and what I saw when you said that was, in a sense, not taking it personally,
right?
Then there's no suffering with it.
Yeah, it feels like that there's just, it's coming from a place of Jill-ness that is in a place where there's no resistance to her and also no separation from anything else. So it just kind of flows out there and doesn't really, it just is. So yeah. I guess that, I don't know. It was just interesting to start to think about that. I mean, that workshop was really powerful for me and just starting to understand it because there were some very, some things that were said that made me want to really look at it and take it and, just look at it more.
And I project keep working with it, which was one of the things we talked about in that workshop. So it was that there was a series of questions. I won't give them away so that people can have their own chance to do the exercises, but it was a lot of questions. And one of the things that was fun about those questions, I don't know if this was part of the experience you're pointing at, was they're such practical things. We're not talking about esoteric kind of, but, what's your favorite thing about, what are the three attributes of your favorite hike, I think was one of them. So sort of things that, I mean, for most of us, you don't really stop and think about that very often, right?
Right.
Well, what do I love? I mean, sometimes you do. Maybe you have. But a whole series of questions that were pretty easy to answer and could really access those answers, and they start to really illuminate all these things that, even though on some level, obviously, we're aware of them because when someone asks us, we can easily answer it. But they pointed all these things that we don't ever stop to really look at, and it starts to paint this whole picture that we don't usually see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And not just one picture. I mean, I took Ashwini's suggestion to do the questions, to repeat them, and I was just answering them before the call, which is, I mean, I can't. So yesterday I did them for the first time. I was literally thinking, like, it's impossible that I would ever think anything different than these answers. I mean, really, this is the exact right answer.
I mean, there's no other answer to this.
This is no other answer. And then I'm writing the answers today, totally different. I mean, it's like miles away, and I'm just laughing. I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
To just do what was pointed at, which is to find out who's here. So that I can better assist who's here, and I know what the issue, that is usually encountered when, whatever's here is here, it's really wonderful,
I'm so glad you described that, because that was exactly my experience too. Like, I mean, why would I answer these again? These are the answers. These are the answers. But that's not true at all. I love that experience. And the best, I mean, it's fun in itself that the answer is so different, right? But then, and I project this as a piece of what you're pointing out with it, that it really opens up like, wow, so that's a gigantic assumption,
mm-hmm.
right? One of the most fundamental assumption that feels like we make as conditioned humans is that I know me.
Mm. Yeah.
And we don't. Because there is no me to know. I mean, that's a whole other sort of side of it. Where projection really can be handy to start to break through some of that solid me, and I know me, and I know who I am. But with something like that, take that same set of questions and answer it, you know, every day or every whatever period of time, and to start to break that up and to see all these other things. So helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so helpful. It's so helpful to just get reminded that, I'm not a solid block of Jill, that it's ever-changing, that's very fluid. Right. And also, too, it's really fun to see that some of them I'm saying the same thing but in a different way, that has like a different lens or different specificity about it, expresses differently, and then some of them are like, I'm in a totally different lens, you know. It's really, really fun. It's really fun. Really fun.
And the other piece is that for me it really brings in the unconditional love again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're witnessing this human being. And so the possibility of the unconditional love for that person who's going along through life.
Yeah. It really starts to give, I mean, I don't know, there's been so much work with unearthing the mentor and to not giving it shape, but just to giving her voice, and it's just so, I just really enjoyed, it's sort of the other this exercise to kind of get clear on who the other part is, you know. I mean, it comes through in recordings, but it just through this exercise, so much became clear about how it works, and anyway, it's been really exciting.
Well, thank you for putting a plug in for that exercise, because it was really quite fun.
As
you say,
and it's right at the beginning of the recording, so
the last one.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks for calling in.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Jen, I'm going to bring your good news guest live, and then we'll go to good news update.
Thank you.
Okay, Jen, you're all set for good news.
Great. I'm pleased to be joined by Judy, who is here to speak with us about her experience of being in practice for an extended time. Welcome, Judy.
Hello, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
thanks for being here for sure. And so you were with us in the summer of Sangha. for quite some time, actually. In fact, came and then came back. And you spoke very beautifully during the Summer of Sangha about what that experience was like, getting to be really immersed in practice for such an extended time. And we thought it would be fun to have you on Good News to talk about that.
Yeah, it was really life-changing. You know, several years ago, the guy talked to me about feeling the love that makes you want to love. And the longer I was there, it was impossible for conditioning to tell me it didn't exist. You know, I just saw it everywhere in how I was treated, in the trees, in the deer, being outside. I haven't been outside that much since, I haven't played outside that long since I was 5 years old, I don't think, you know. Just beauty was around me, love was around me everywhere. So it turned into just a conduit. You know, that's just how I wanted to be in the world, how I want to be in the world.
Yeah. Boy, that place of impossible for conditioned mind to make another case. I'm sure it tried,
right.
But to be so surrounded by it was really the thing that made a difference for you, it sounds like.
Yes, and because there were just so many practice opportunities, you know, we had group every single day. We had workshops several times a week. We had guidance several times a week. There was scheduled time for recording and listening, so there wasn't any reason not to, you know, it was on the schedule, so of course we did it. And then there were practice points of direction every day. It was just filled with exploration and curiosity.
Uh-huh. And that really, that's always been one of my favorites too, the love that makes you want to love. And that I think when originally Sherry started to talk about that, it was that I wish everyone could feel the love that makes you want to love, that people would experience that. And it takes a lot because, I mean, that's back to the Rumi quote, right? Our job is to, you know, see all the barriers between us and love, because love, as you described, is everywhere. It's everything, which was a huge theme of Summer of Sangha, especially towards the end of it. And so the only thing that's stopping us from seeing that is that we're in that constant conversation with conditioned mind. So that it makes complete sense that when you're immersed in practice, and you really pointed at the structures of practice, and that breaks through, that's interrupting conditioned mind's ability to have your attention, what comes through is the love.
Right. There were so many examples of that. You know, sometimes in the past I've had trouble accessing the mentor, and then the guide started talking about the middle person. I think she referred to it as the manager who kind of gets in there in between me and the mentor. And I thought, it's the fixer, you know, somebody who wants to get in there and do it. You know, I'm in the right hand and I'm troubled about something, and then the fixer comes in, well, do this. And, you know, that's not it. And there was so much time over time to settle and just feel that it's really not about doing anything. It's just about, as you talked to me about, it's just about receiving, just it's all here, just letting it be and come through me.
You know what's so lovely about that, Judy, what you just described, is that potentially an experience like that can make us really approach all of it in a very relaxed way. Because what you realize is, oh, you know, there people start talking about that manager, that middle person, and you realize for you that's the fixer, who it sounds like, I mean, regularly, was the one who was coming in something like a two-handed recording. Oh, well, I mean, you could do this, and you could do this, and you could do this. And so instead of realizing, oh, gosh, that's wrong, I've been doing it wrong, all that happens is this process of revelation where you realize, someone points at that, you see your own experience of that, and that in itself opens up that there's another possibility. And then that deepens your ability to access the mentor. So none of it's wrong. Right? We don't need to do anything. It truly, if we stick around, and as Sherry started us off with today in the first call, if we just practice, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then there was another group in several days conversation about the middle room, you know, the light room and the dark room. And I think I even worked to you in group one day about it. I thought I was in the light room, but I was in the middle room. You know, things were pretty good. You know, this was a little problem. That was a little snag. But just like the guide said this morning on the morning show, it just it's possible to just be happier and happier and happier. I had no idea. I had no idea until I was there over time and saw it and lived it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is a new life.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Judy, it feels like there are some clues in that, in what you described, especially in the schedule. You know, you said there are places on the schedule for recording and listen, so you recorded and listened because that's what was on the schedule. That seems like a huge clue for us in terms of how we set up our lives when we're not all together intensively in that way on a day-to-day basis.
You know, that just dropped in today. I actually worked on one of the Q&A sessions with Ashwini about a compassionate schedule, and today I thought, you know, I had almost 6 weeks here. I had clean clothes every day. I had food in my stomach. I was at the center 6 or 7 hours every day.
Yeah.
What do I do at home, you know, that keeps me so busy so that I can't, I mean, everything's fine. You know, what do I do at home so that I don't spend my time in this way, which is the most important way I can spend my time?
Yeah. Oh, that is so, that's a huge revelation. It's a huge revelation. Yeah. And it's actually, it's funny because it points back to the exercise we were just talking about with Jill that
yes.
we all did on that last day. Because one mm-hmm. of the things Sherry was talking about was, I think one of the questions was pointing out, what's the most important,
yes.
you know, endeavor of the human being? Or I forget how it was worded exactly. And for many of us, the clear answer was love.
Absolutely.
Love.
Unconditional,
and so that
yeah.
quite, that really clears it up in terms of how mm-hmm. we want to prioritize our lives, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a great experiment to see how this all works, how this all shakes out when I get home. Yeah. Because
yeah.
there's such clarity now that there just wasn't before.
Uh-huh.
About what's important. And it is the unconditional love. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. There's such clarity about what's important, and it is the unconditional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, that's where recording and listening can really assist us. It has so many roles, but in what you're describing right now, I feel like its role is recollection. Because that
mm-hmm.
we get really, especially as you described, that when we're in the environment for longer and longer and longer periods, that clarity really comes through. And when we're not in that environment, you can know conditioned mind's going to attempt to slowly close that over. And so to
mm-hmm.
record that clarity, right? And maybe
right.
that's part of the compassionate schedule, that you know you're going to listen to that each day.
Right. Right.
Here's what I know is available to me. Here's
yeah.
what I'm practicing.
Yeah.
Here's what's
yeah.
most important to me.
And one of the other people mentioned it too. Well, it's always mentioned that just the preciousness of Sangha. You know, the world's nuts, and in my opinion. And so, and to be able to come to a place from time to time, whether it be on the recordings or recording and listening or actually to
yeah.
Four Acres Zen Center, and be with people who care and are sane,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. 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 Who actually want to see through the illusions. That
yes, that's what, yeah.
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 All the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's really hard to do. It's really hard to see through that illusion. We are so well trained to live inside that illusion.
Right.
So to be around people who are also, A, seeing through the illusion, or know that it's possible to see through the illusion,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, practicing to accomplish that. And if we throw in projection, I suppose if we know that it's possible to see through the illusion, there's a way in which we can turn our attention to, well, I must be seeing through it in some way.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. And being guided and modeled it. I mean, it was modeled all the
yeah.
time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, if I didn't feel like recording and listening, I mean, we had the privileged environment, but I'd look around and everybody was recording and listening. Okay, it's time to record and listen. Let's do that. You know, there's just no question. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we do now.
That's I hadn't really consciously thought about that, but that is one of the fun things about the 4 Acre Zen Center is it's 4 acres. It's not 320 acres the way the monastery was. And so, you know, it's a nice, big, beautiful piece of land, but on the schedule, 2:15, record and listen. You can just look around the property, and there we all are, just walking on this path,
right.
walking in here,
right.
doing, sitting on this bench,
right.
and we're all there with our recorders.
Yeah, yeah. Then it's just,
yeah.
okay, I want to do that too. I want to do that too. I want to be part of this group. Okay, that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're good role models for each other.
We are. We need each other. Absolutely.
Oh, we need each
yeah.
other so
yeah.
much. Yeah, so much. Yeah. Well, Judy, thank you so much for being on to talk about your experience this summer, and thank you for being with us for such a long time.
Oh, it was just such a, you know, it was truly a blessed opportunity. You know, it was just extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Deep bows, deep bows.
Deep bow to you, too. Thank you, Judy.
Good night.
Bye. And, Michael, I'll turn it back over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Judy. And, Jen, that was a beautiful conversation, and it took me right back there. So it's fabulous.
Yeah, don't you love the what Jill was saying about the rustling of the tent?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
funny. I do love that. The background of recordings often is very dear. I have recordings, you know, I literally have thousands of recordings, and when I listen on shuffle, often I'll hear Sadie, one of our monastery
yeah.
dogs who is no longer with us in
yes.
the background, you know, snoring or
yeah.
and it's delightful. It's just so delightful to have that. It's just another little but beautiful and profound piece of the love that's always there.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It reflects that little thing reflects the big love.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right. Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Is that me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. You know, I have not called in for, I'm guessing, 2 decades.
And
it's been since I've talked to Sangha, although I feel like I have a Sangha where I am now. But anyway, I want to tell you about
it.
This is George Jacobs.
Ah, George. You know what, George?
Yeah.
I knew the voice, and I just could not put your name to it. Lovely to hear your voice.
Well, it's lovely to be heard and to hear yours. And I know that Sherry turned 80 this year, the same month that I did. I'm 1 day older than she is.
Happy
turned 80.
Birthday.
And thank you. And so it's a really fascinating thing happened to me. You know, one of those things that you call, oh, my God, this is a breakthrough. So I was brought to my knees by a really powerful hit of atrial fibrillation where my heart just kind of went crazy. And I was walking from the garden trying to get back to my cottage, and I just went down on the ground. And I thought, oh, no, you know, this is, you know, I'm 80 years old. I guess I'm old enough. I guess I'm qualified to die now if I need to or want to, you know, if that's happening. Anyway, I found myself in the emergency room in fairly short order. And and what happened there was really fascinating. I thought, well, here I am. I could be dying now. You know, I was really, really in bad shape, and you know, people were trying to help me and so on while I was there. What I said to myself, you know, George, how do you want to be? You know, if you are going to die or you're not going to die, you know, how do you want to be? And I said, I want to be unconditionally loving toward everyone that I encounter while I'm here in the ER and from here on and beyond. And so I started, and I asked the question, I said, well, what's my job here now? And the answer was, your job is to cheer everybody up. And so I thought, yes, that is exactly what the answer is. So I started doing exactly that, just being really appreciative of every single person, whether they were you know, an aide or a doctor or a nurse or whatever they were doing, I was just looking them in the eye and smiling at them and thanking them and appreciating them, because these folks live in these kind of dark hallways with no windows and artificial lighting, and, you know, are constantly triaging patients that are coming in all kinds of conditions and despair, who knows what. And so I just said, that's my job. And it has been my job since. It's been months now. And that has been my job in every situation that I've been in. And it's been absolutely glorious.
I mean, that is truly one of those moments, isn't it, George? And one of my favorite parts of what you said was, how do I want to be if I die, if I'm not dying? That it wasn't, I don't want to die, so how do I sort of, you know, but whatever happens right now, whether this is the end or it isn't the end, how do I want to be? And how fortunate to have that be the thing that occurs to you in that moment, that fundamental how question of awareness practice, to have that occur to you in that moment and to stay with you in such a profound way.
I hope it never leaves.
And I mean, the way you're practicing with it is a huge way that it stays with you, isn't it? Is to practice it, is to be that. To be that unconditional love.
Exactly. To be the love that we're all looking for. It's right here.
That's right.
It's right here.
It's right here. Yep. And you know, it's so interesting because it is right here. It's right here all the time. And when we have an experience like you're describing, we realize that. We realize, oh my gosh, it's not something I have to do. It's not something I have to find. It's here. And I don't know if this is a piece of it for you, it's been here the whole time.
Right.
And most of us do walk around most of the time not feeling that, not receiving that. So to have someone in our environment, as other people have been talking about on the show today, who models that for us, who is able to be that, is so big.
It awakens it in everyone you encounter to some degree.
Yes.
And the other consciousness that comes along with it is the realization that the gift that life is, you know, that we're in these miraculous, unfathomable bodies, living on this miraculous, incredible, unfathomable earth, you know, planet in this solar system that just is mind-blowing every time you think of it. And we complain about it, you know.
Oh, thank you for that, George. That was a great little guided imagery you just took us on. How can we not be just astounded in every single moment?
Yes, yes. Astounded and in deep appreciation and gratitude for every breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living in this miracle. You know, we live in mystery by miracle, the poet says, Wendell Berry. We live in mystery, miracle.
Yes. We live in mystery by miracle. Yeah. And so fortunate to wake up to that when we do.
It's everything. It's everything.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, George, I was thinking as you were saying you know that it touches people in whatever way that it does, and that it really is in being it that we're the first recipient of that we're the ones receiving that love. Every time we're quote offering it, or every time we're being it, we're the ones receiving it.
We are it, you know.
We are.
It's.
Yes.
We are it.
Yeah.
If we so choose, and we do need to continue to choose that over and over and over again, every morning, every breath, really.
We do. Well, and I don't know if you've listened to any of the recordings that people have been talking about, but for actually, I mean, I don't know, forever probably. Sherry's been talking about this, but really towards the end of the Summer of Sangha recordings, walking us through that I choose unconditional love, exactly what you just said, that we can actively choose it and to actively choose it. There was this wonderful group where one day people were talking about sort of, you know, the things that we all go through and what the voices say and how we get pulled off and what the resistance looks like. And she was literally demonstrating for us the process of, you know, so whatever, the voice of, oh, God, it's too hot. Yeah, I choose unconditional love. Well, but you're not going to feel it in the next moment. I mean, yeah, maybe you're feeling unconditional love now. Yeah, sure, you're right. I choose unconditional love. Oh, yeah, so Pollyanna. I mean, all the things that are happening. Mm-hmm. Yep,
yeah, right.
I choose unconditional love over and over and over and over again.
It's just the best way. It's the way, you know. There's nothing that feels better. And as you say, it's first of all a gift to yourself. Primarily a gift to yourself.
Primarily. That's where it comes from.
From there it radiates out.
Everyone you come in contact with, exactly. And I project that may everyone feel the love that makes you want to love is, right? Because you're describing that. You felt that love in that experience. That's what you came in contact with. That's what you woke up to. And here you are. All you want to do now is love. It makes you want to love.
Yeah. So it's true, that Beatles song, you know, all you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
They got it right.
A little bit of food, but you know, that's love too. I find, I do, you know, a lot of gardening in this season time for gardening, and I just send them love. I just look at them and I say, you are so beautiful. You are just so, thank you so much for your beauty, for being here, for nourishing, you know, the vegetables that I grow are, you know, the gift that they give is just astonishing.
I mean, back to your, you know, in these bodies on this planet, in this universe, right? You take a little seed and you take, several seeds, a lettuce seed, a pepper seed. And I mean, could you tell them can you tell the difference? You know, not really. You put them in the ground and one becomes this beautiful, shiny, bright red pepper with a big green stem. And another one becomes a giant watermelon that's bright pink on the inside. I mean,
they're all individual characters for sure.
Yeah.
You know, same. We're all the same family. I mean, you know, whether humans or plants or trees or the rushing water or whatever, it's all, you know, it's all the same flow of energy, of love energy. So we're all brothers and sisters, and so I just talk to all these, you know, and listen as well, you know. I sit
and
by
listen.
The and listen.
That's lovely. Well, thank you, George. It's so nice to hear your voice. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, I'm so glad I finally got around to doing it.
Stay cool. Stay in contact.
Yes, thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
All right. Very good. Thanks, George.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, George. And it's great to hear from an old friend, isn't it, Jen?
It's so fun. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. And we have time for at least one more caller here, Jen.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jodine calling from California. How are you?
Hey, Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
This is great. So much in this call has been landing here with me. I have just finally changed my schedule after about a year and a half, I guess, of not being able to call the show because I had, you know, a weekly appointment at that time, which was an in-person appointment. And the appointment changed. Yay!
Yay! Love again. Love strikes again.
Yep. And so I thought, well, I'll call in and I'll just do cue practice. I haven't had that opportunity. There is a big content thing in my life right now that's been impinging on practice or whatever. It makes me glad I'm practicing.
Good reframe.
Which is that I have joined what I'm calling the quiet revolution in Parkinson's disease. Which is that I've undergone a therapy, which is kind of not for everybody, but if you can do it, it basically, people say it gives you a good 10 years of symptom relief.
Wow.
So talk about miracles. The miracle that has even, you know, been worked out by many, many people, you know, over decades. You know, every day I think about that.
Yeah. All that went into that being discovered, that being put together.
Yes. And it really was decades in Parkinson's that started with like an accidental observation.
As so often seems the case, right?
Right.
Yeah. Someone's paying attention, right? And isn't setting out to do something, but is paying attention, and it drops in. Wait, there's a connection here.
Right. Like, it's like, oh, you know, some doctor somewhere said, hey, I've noticed that, you know, like, have you noticed that? And, you know, and then fast forward like 30 years and I had brain surgery in May and I had an implant placed in my brain, which is capable basically of stopping the abnormal impulses that cause the tremor in Parkinson's. And as people might recall, the tremor was, you know, there's a lot of things about Parkinson's that are hard to cope with. But the tremor is something that's like a day in and day out thing. Like, it never takes a break.
Right.
And basically it's gone.
Wow. And so you said that this period of time is making you grateful that you practice.
It is. Because, and actually, just backing up, if I think about my whole journey through this condition, every single step of the way, I'm glad that I was practicing. The day of the diagnosis to when the meds started working, to when the meds stopped working, you know, to when I evaluated for the surgery and they said yes. I mean, every step of the way, really. And now I have, you know, this joy of basically I have a new life. I can life over in a way, you know. I mean, that's kind of what it feels
what,
like.
I missed one word. That what is over, Jodine?
I can do my life over.
Oh, I can do my life over. Aha. Uh-huh. Like, almost like an experience like George was describing. Like, gosh, there's this whole other chance here.
Yes, right, right. Exactly. And that's why I was thinking, my gosh, the people who called in today. You know, it's kind of like, it's given me this kind of, almost like a this razor blade or something, or sword, where it really cuts to the quick of, like, what are my priorities? You know, like, did I undergo a 6-hour brain surgery and all the recovery and everything that went with that to do what I'm doing now? You know, like,
in other words, like, there may be what you're in a day where ego's griping about the the blah blah, and then it just, that sword, I love that image, just cuts through, you know. No, we're not doing that. It just makes, when you have an experience like you're describing, it just makes it all so obviously precious, doesn't it?
Right, right. Like on the Good News Update, Judy was saying, what do I do every day?
Right.
You know, like, how much of my time am I spending in conversation with conditioning, for Pete's sake?
Exactly. When you said that, I thought, what is ego doing with my day all day? That's really what's happening for a lot of us, right? A lot of the time.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So,
I can really see why you feel grateful for practice in this, Jodine, because what an ally in going through something like all of that.
Oh, I didn't, what? I missed that.
An ally.
An ally,
such a profound experience like you're describing. I mean, you know, that would be big for anybody, having a diagnosis like that, going through brain surgery, you know, completely, you know, have that functionality back. And we also know how easy it is to go right back to sleep. You know, so grateful to have that functionality back and then to go right back into our conditioned thing. We've seen it with ourselves in many and large ways. And so to have the ally of practice for what I project you're describing is to keep you awake, to keep you present to this precious life.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
yeah, there really isn't time for conditioned mind.
No,
there really
never.
Is not.
Never. And this is having an experience like you and George and other people are describing really makes that so tangible in a way that's so supportive. So thank you for calling in and describing that for us.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it's such a rich, it just seems that practice makes everything richer and more precious, I guess, is what you were saying. Like,
it wakes us up to how rich and present everything is, how precious and rich everything is. It wakes us up to that. It's
right.
Like that love. It's always there, but we're not always here for it, to receive it, back to the receiving.
Right. So I want to be here for it.
Me too. Me too. And thank you for describing that, because with each person who does that, that brings us back here again. It reminds all of us. So that's a huge piece of it. Yeah. As someone was saying, we're all a support to each other. We're all, I guess it was Judy, we're all role models for each other.
Modeling.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you, Jodine.
You.
Take good care.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine, and what a great way to end the show, Jen, remembering how rich and precious life is.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Really.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael.
So thank, Yeah, thank you, Jen, and thank you, everyone, and go happy.
Go happy.